This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, busy hour number two as we continue with Wake Up Call. Glad you could be with us this morning. A good Thursday, especially if you are in Houston. A World Series no-hitter as the Astros beat the Phillies 5-0 on Wednesday night. They even up the series at 2. They will have Game 5 tonight. Justin Verlander getting the start. Winless in his career in the World Series, Noah Syndergaard, who was the Game 3 scheduled starter for Philadelphia, but then that got pushed because of the rain. He will now go in Game number 5. We got a good series here. The Phillies, I mean, you can look at the way Philadelphia got into this, but I always give credit to teams when they get into the postseason, make the most of it as you possibly can. They may have been the last team in, dogfight with the Milwaukee Brewers for that final wild card spot. They used to not even be a third wild card team, so they took advantage of a year when that was added to the system. But now that they did, they're 2 wins away from winning the World Series. But to go from hitting 5 home runs, where you notice that Lance McCullers may or may not have been tipping pitches, who knows, to then getting mowed down by Christian Javier and a number of others coming out of the bullpen, it really just does show you how fickle Major League Baseball is. I mean, there are times in other sports, because maybe it's just mano a mano and you're in a series per se, you can get a hot goaltender in the NHL that can carry you through a series maybe you're undermanned in. In the NBA, there's just matchups that just don't work for one particular team. But in baseball, it really is about the pitching. And if you can get solid pitching, you can change your fortunes just like that. So if you're the Philadelphia Phillies, do you want to go to Houston down 3-2? No, of course not. You need to be up 3-2. But the Astros are in good shape, because whether they're up 3-2 or they're down 3-2, they'll go back to Minute Maid Park. Now, again, this has happened before where we've seen the teams feel like, well, you know what, when we get back home, but then you get back home and then all of a sudden you can't quite close the deal. So this has been a fun World Series. We've had some historical moments given the 5 home runs that we had on Tuesday night by one team. And now you had a no-hitter last night, only the second time in Major League Baseball history that a World Series had been a no-hitter. Don Larsen threw a perfect game in 1956. It's remarkable, absolutely remarkable last night. Really, really fun to watch. I mean, it just reminds you, sometimes we get really cynical about sports. We get into the business of sports, the nastiness of sports sometimes. I know if you're a Phillies fan, it was painful to watch. But I think for most of us who just enjoy the World Series for what it is, again, no rooting interest. I was pulling for this really, really hard last night.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, the dumb on a throwback Thursday. By the way, our throwback Thursday, 1988, Geraldo Rivera's show ended in a fight between Roy Innes and some Nazi skinheads. It was the more famous event on television. And then we trickled into the 90s where that kind of thing was almost the norm. But let's get the good of the day here on your Throwback Thursday.
And I would say it kind of gave birth to reality TV.
Yeah, it certainly did.
Because we
yeah.
liked the absurdity of like, oh my God, is that
real? We were attracted to that. Yes, we were.
Well, you want to know something else that's kind of like reality TV that
yes.
has ebbed and flowed over the last, 3 years?
Yes.
And that's The Match.
The Match.
The Golf Match.
Okay.
Well, it's coming back, Tony, and you're probably surprised.
Did it go away?
Well, I
guess
not. I
thought they did it last year in Montana.
Yeah, I guess they did do it, yeah.
Quarterbacks.
They did do it last year. I forgot about that one.
Maybe
I don't want to remember that one.
This is good, and yet people don't even remember it's still going on.
Yeah.
So what is the new angle this one?
Why is The Match good? You asked, Tony?
Yes.
It's because it's reported that this next edition will feature Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
It'll be an tentatively scheduled for December 10th at Pelican Golf Club outside of Tampa under the lights.
Oh, here's the thing. What do all 4 of them have in common? Can we just sort of figure out what have?
I can't put my finger on
major
it.
Major winners? Yeah,
okay.
All right.
Yeah,
that's one. That's one.
Green Jack? No, it's not Green Jackets.
Not Green Jackets.
Not Green Jackets.
No, but
3 out of the 4.
If you were the PGA Tour, you are making phone calls and lining up these guys to jump on board. You're looking at what's going on and going, let's get our four biggest and more outspoken supporters of what we do and put them under the lights in Tampa to play some golf.
In a primetime event.
Primetime event, yeah.
Where all eyes will be on that because December 10th, I don't even know what day December 10th is, but I imagine nothing is going on that day.
I can't imagine. What is December? Let me look at it real
December
quick.
10th, Saturday night.
Saturday night? Wait a minute. Is that when are the football championship games? So are they the week before that?
I think so.
I would think so.
That's Saturday night. That's kind of the dead Saturday, isn't it?
So you got the Saturday. If the third is your championship Saturday, and then they give you the playoff teams on Sunday, the 10th would be, let's just put something on the 10th.
Yeah, you know what you have on that Saturday? You have like the Division III playoff.
Yeah, that's right.
College football.
You have the other kind of FCS playoffs.
That we don't really care about.
Right, so watch some night golf in Tampa. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that four. I mean, now you're actually going to get some fun golf.
You're going to get, especially Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods. They're very good friends, and they did a good job when, remember we were watching COVID, and they would, and Justin Thomas was like an on-course commentator during the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Tiger.
That was fun.
That was fun.
I did enjoy that one.
You should get some fun. So
this one, yeah. So
these are the top four golfers on anybody's list in terms of your head from at least the PGA Tour side of things. So, yeah, good job. That's really good. I like that. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is the biggest professional sports scandal happening right now, Tony, that you never heard of.
Is this the cornhole controversy?
Yes.
What is this is something I saw in passing, so forgive my lack of knowledge, but they say it's a cheating scandal in cornhole.
If you didn't know, I guess every professional sport has some sort of cheating scandal.
Right.
I mean, there's a professional team who are being accused of using illegal bean bags at the 2022 American Cornhole League World Championships, which was held back in August.
Now, I don't know anything about professional cornhole.
It's being dubbed as bag gate.
Bag gate, of course.
Because we've got to add a gate to it.
Now, I'm not a professional, I don't watch professional cornhole or anything, but isn't there some sort of entity that sort of monitors that? Like, when you bring, you bringing bean bags to a tournament, don't they go, well, we got to weigh them, and we got to, we need, are you just allowed to show up? You're asking me, I'm asking you.
I don't know.
Like, wouldn't you assume that if your players are allowed to bring their own stuff, like golf clubs for golfers, tennis rackets for tennis, like if you are responsible for bringing your own equipment for the competition of which you're in, isn't there a governing body that makes sure, like in golf, every club has to be part of a standard? Like, you can't have some club that, like a putter that does this, or they have to fit within the rules, and they are checked for that.
Tony,
don't you think you would go, give me the bean bags, let's weigh them to make sure they weigh right, let's make sure the contents of the bean bags are of what they're supposed to be? Like, maybe that's the case.
No.
And by the way, why are you bringing your own bean bags? They should be provided, like NFL footballs. Like, Tom Brady's not supposed to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and buy his own footballs.
But he was able to find a way to deflate his own balls.
I knew that was coming. As soon as I said Tom Brady, I knew we were going to
head down
that
road. This is what I'm equating it to, right? I'm waiting to hear, maybe, just maybe, these are just practice bean bags.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Because, like Sammy Sosa, he picked up the wrong bat. He was just using practice bat.
Maybe.
So maybe this is just a practice.
Is that the case?
Maybe these are just practice beanbags. I mean, we don't know.
All right.
A little lighter when here, in front of the crowd, everyone wants to see them, put it in the hole every single time. You can't be expected to use a regular size beanbag. That's going to tire your arm out for the championships.
I'm just saying, I just think you should have, I don't know anything about this, but yeah, I guess there is a scandal. Nice. But you know what? They're now in good company with the fishing scandal that we had and every other cheating scandal that we had. I saw some video of some woman being accused of cheating at a poker tournament that was not that long ago. I mean, there's all sorts of cheating scandals. Now cornhole is involved in it. Yikes!
I mean, I know we had a cheating scandal not too long ago in a fishing tournament.
Yeah.
So we gotta remember that one.
I just did.
I know. Okay. I'm reminding you again.
Okay.
Because we can't let these go by. We got to keep on.
What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day might have been me. The dumb of the day, you know what? Honestly, I got to give it to Kansas basketball.
Kansas basketball.
Kansas Bill basketball Self, is, has just destroyed their season, Tony, by imposing a four-game suspension on Bill Self for his part of the 2017 FBI investigation.
You felt like something was coming, right? Like last year they won the championship and there was this feeling of like, yeah, they did. But remember, there was like, this is a little weird, right? Because there was this FBI investigation and Bill Self was mentioned in the investigation. So now Kansas just went, we'll just couple of games at the beginning of the season.
Four games, Tony. That's going to derail their entire season.
I mean, their chance of winning the Big 12 again is now...
Is over.
Is over.
I mean, forget about a chance in the tournament, too.
Yeah. Well, no doubt.
They're done.
No doubt.
Not only that, they did impose other penalties on themselves. You know, the four-game suspension for Bill Self and assistant coach Curtis Townsend to start the season. So it's the first four games. Because, you know, those are the ones that matter the most. They are also inflicting a off-campus recruiting-related events for four months. They're not allowed. Those two coaches are not allowed to attend those off-campus recruiting events.
Yikes!
They have the reduction of four official visits during the academic year. Let's see what else they have. The reduction of three total scholarships, Tony, to be spread out over the next 3 years.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to use an example of what's going on in Formula One right now. So Formula One, the top team right now is Red Bull Racing. They won the championship last year. Okay. They won the championship this year. Okay, so Formula One used to be a free for all, spend as much money as you can, create the cars, and Ferrari could spend $400 million in a season, Mercedes could spend $300 million in a season, and a team like Gene Haas's outfit, they didn't have a lot of money. So Formula One put in a cost cap and they just said, listen, you can only spend this amount of money and that's it. No more than that. You can't go over that. We're going to try to get everybody on a competitive level. You can't. It's like a salary cap with severe penalties. So last year, Red Bull won the championship and they went over the cap. They spent over the cap. So everybody was wondering what would happen, right? What is going to, are you going to have the season, you have the championship taken away? What kind of reductions in testing and all the, what is going to happen? Well, they got fined $7 million and there were some other things, but it outraged a lot of people because if the penalty is just money, then rich teams could just go, screw it, I'll just spend over the cap and I'll just pay the fine, whatever. It's like the luxury tax in baseball, right? If all you're just going to do to these coaches is four meaningless games at the beginning of the season, like what coach would, what is the disincentive right. of doing anything illegal if the penalty is you don't get to coach your team against Chadron State
yep.
in November. Like, is that what we're doing?
Or
like,
you get
why isn't the penalty you don't get to coach in the final in the NCAA tournament if your team makes it?
I mean, my favorite too is the reduction. Like, you're going to lose three scholarships
over the next three years.
So however you want to do it.
Like, if these are so serious that like the FBI is involved, right? Don't you like? Wouldn't it be great if they said to Bill Self, "Hey, guess what? Your team makes it to the NCAA tournament. You don't get to coach. You can't even be in the building. Trust your assistants because that's what's happening to you. So good luck, like or something like that. Yeah. Like again, if it's just these, yeah, I mean, yeah, he feels it, man. He won't be able to coach in November when no one cares." Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what
that's
else too?
That's the thing.
They're not allowed to bring in any official visits to the 2022 Late Night in the Fog.
Oh, see, that's a big problem.
That's the big problem. That right there, I mean,
you are the national champions of college basketball. Like, for the love of Pete, Kansas is one of those premier basketball destinations for top recruits. It's like on the list. It's like Duke, Kansas, Michigan.
It's one of the blue bloods. Like we always say that, or maybe I'll call it this way. It's like the four horsemen of college basketball.
Exactly. Like
Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke. Those are the big four that you want to go play basketball.
You want to go play for Nate Oates at Alabama? Great. Go do that. But you know when you get there as a basketball player where the money is made, right?
Yeah.
You know where the bread is buttered.
Or where it's going.
Exactly. So you can go to a lot of places in America as a basketball player where you know where the bread is buttered. Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, you know where the bread is buttered, right? No matter what, you know what people care about. You know what people are really, really interested in. And Kansas is one of those places. Now, I know we had fun this year with their football team. Like, yay, they were undefeated and ranked. But the real, real Kansas pull is their men's basketball team. And now, this is a... Oh, again,
I don't know how they're going to survive this.
Like, what is... Why wouldn't you do these things if they're just going to tell you you can't coach four games at the beginning of the season? I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, you know, the other thing to consider, too, is that they finally came around to it.
Oh, yeah, they finally came... Exactly!
that's another thing.
That's another great point. This has been around forever.
5 years, the investigation happened.
We've been talking about Will Wade at LSU for an eternity before they finally went, all right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Now, he will miss the Champions Classic versus Duke.
Now, that's big, but, yeah.
But, I mean, how many times has he faced off against Duke? This is one
scale.
Time. And it's a Mike Krzyzewski-less Duke.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. It's not the same.
It's not the same kinda Duke.
It's not the same environment where it's two icons in college basketball shaking hands at the end of the game.
You know, I mean, think about it. They're like, I don't know. It was the assistant coach, right? I can't remember the guy's name at Duke. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Oh, John Shire? Is that who's taking over?
Is that maybe?
I'll have to look it up. Yeah, but yeah.
You know, we don't know. He's not a household name just yet. But you know, can Bill Self really shake hands with the assistant? No. We'll send the other assistant out there.
This is so silly.
It's incredible.
These penalties are so ridiculous, unbelievable. Because nobody wants to give anybody the death penalty or anything like that.
No, of course not.
They don't know what to do. They other than tournament bans, which nobody wants to do either. Nobody wants to give tournament bans.
I mean, these are all self-imposed. You think Kansas can be like, because of these allegations, we're not going to be in the tournament. No.
I swear to God, the NCAA is stop or I'll say stop again. Like, that's all they're doing. No one does anything.
They probably congratulate. Hey, good job. Well, we couldn't think of a better suspension because we need.
Well done.
We need Kansas in the tournament.
Oh, my God. That's a good, the bad, and the dub. Dave Preston's going to join us. Talk Dan Snyder as we continue with Wake Up Call.
If you live in innocence, watch out.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, again, Dave Preston joins us in 10 minutes. We'll talk to him about the Washington Commanders situation with Dan Snyder. Excuse me. I have got... I'm still amazed by this no-hitter last night. By the way, leave it to Darren Rovell to point out immediately on Twitter that there was no hard tickets to the game last night.
That's hurt Rovell.
That's hurting Rovell, because Rovell would buy your hard ticket if you had one for the no-hitter.
Just, he's probably against saving trees.
Exactly. Listen, I used the digital ticket at going to the United States Grand Prix a couple weeks ago, and as I was flipping around through my wallet on my phone, I noticed that I still had the two Yankee tickets, quote unquote, in my Apple wallet from the first game that Aaron Judge hit a home run in. And I was like, oh, that's gotta be kind of cool. But then I'm like,
I'd frame it.
That's what I'm wondering. Can I do something with that personally?
Well, what I would do is just have it permanently put on your screen and just get a new phone.
Yeah, right? I was going to get a new phone. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like it saves. But Darren Rovell collects tickets from sporting events. That's what he does. That's part of his collection. So I think it's starting to get to a point where that's going to die for future historic events. Buy some previous historic ones, but I think future, no one's doing that. No one's printing out tickets. So no hard ticket from last night's game. Everything all digital. That's where we're going. So too bad, Darren Rovell. Maybe that makes his collection more valuable. Like in 20 years, people might go, what's that? It's a ticket. You actually had to have this in your hand when you attended a sporting event. They used to rip it.
You're going to love this, right? There was a TikTok video that was going around. That I happened to come across, and I absolutely loved it. And it was literally a kid, I'm going to say kid, she was probably in her young 20s, and she posed this question. How did you guys buy concert tickets before the internet?
That's a great question.
And then somebody popped on.
For a young person, yeah.
And then somebody popped on and was like, well, funny enough, we stood in these really, really long lines for hours and hours,
hours and hours.
To either go, you know, these lines were either at our record store or they were at the box office itself. Sometimes we got tickets at a place, you know, like unusual places like a Sears or a grocery store. Maybe we, you know, got on the phone and called and called and called and called.
I did that many times.
And called.
Yeah, I did that many times.
It just, I mean, it is amazing. Like, you know, thinking back to it, it's like, I remember, for me, it was always going to Tower Records.
Man, I wanted to take this girl to Elton John at Boston Garden and in 92 and just call, redial.
It was annoying.
And finally got through. And I was back. It was crazy. I still am amazed with how we got from point A to point B.
Oh, with maps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I told you that story one time where, I don't know if I shared it on the air. I never know when I share stuff on the air or share it with you.
Yeah, I know. We have, like, we have that issue.
I go through that. So forgive me if you've heard this story before. But when I was in high school, a friend of mine and I were hanging out. It was like a summer night. And he knew some girls. He helped open a restaurant in another town in New Hampshire. And he had these girls that he knew from the restaurant that he opened. This was like an hour or so away. They were having a party, and they invited us to this party. And I have zero idea how we got to her house.
I believe it.
Zero idea how I guess he just took down every direction she could possibly give from the highway through these back roads. And then you go about a mile and then you see this blue, blue house. And then we're the gray, like, that's basically how you do it. But I can't remember the process at all of going to a whole different town where you knew nothing.
And somehow we ended up at her house. I agree with you on that.
100%. Like, we had, and I don't even remember getting lost. We just ended up there.
No.
We had a fun night and we drove home.
I told you, I know I said this to you off air, that I have a guilty pleasure right now, and that's the new TV show, Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Right? The remake of Quantum Leap. And you know that, like, the actual timeline of Quantum Leap, like, the where they send people back is now.
Right? Oh, so they're sending it to the right. Yeah, okay.
It's now, but they're sending them back. I mean, in this version, you know, the guy is not challenged or not limited to just the timeline of his life. He was able to go back to like the 1800s, which is kind of fun. Anyways, there was one where they were trying to find a nightclub, and the guy jumped into a body and he's like, yeah, the nightclub, and he says the name and he said it's on this intersection, and his partner hands him a Thomas guide and goes, here, look it up. And he goes, and he's like, a Thomas guide? And he goes, you have a better way of finding it? Because it's the late 80s.
Yeah, late 80s, exactly.
And it just, that made me laugh out loud. I was like, God, how did we do that?
I know.
Somebody gave us an address, and we were able to find it on the Thomas guide.
Philip on Twitter, trying to explain physical tickets to future generations will like trying to explain MySpace to kids today. Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Or even before MySpace. Seriously. Like, he's 100% right. You used to wait outside to get tickets to World Series games, playoff games. That's the way it was. I remember when the Rockies went to the World Series, my radio station needed tickets. We needed tickets badly. And the only way the Rockies were selling tickets was through the box office and phone calls. They tried to do it online, but it crashed. So I remember the general manager saying,
you know what? Real quick, we're going to have to explain that to him someday.
Yeah, we're going to explain that to him. Yeah.
What do you mean the internet websites crashed?
Just crashed, just died. So you had to make phone calls. I remember the general manager asked everybody to make phone calls, and he goes, the moment you get through, just intercom and we'll rush with the company credit card to buy the tickets. And then my first thought was, if somebody in this company does get through, they're just going to buy tickets for themselves. Like, they're not going to get, like, it's so rare to get through. It was, and these tickets were, I mean, they were red hot.
Yeah, sorry, everybody Joe, didn't get them yet.
Right? Exactly. Sorry, boss, I didn't get them. Meanwhile, you're going to pick up 8 that you picked up because you got through and put them on your credit card and then resold them for 4 times, 5 times the value. It's like the Willy Wonka golden ticket guy, yes. Right? The Veruca Salt. Like, who would go, boss, I got the golden ticket? You just keep it. You just put it in your pocket and walk away.
She lived in fear, Tony.
She lived in fear. Yeah, she lived in fear. She would get noted. She would probably be known as an employee of the Salt Nut Company. All right, we'll continue along. Dave Preston will join us. Will Dan Snyder actually sell the Washington team? And if so, why now? That's coming up next on Wake Up Call. Oh,
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so again, as we talked about early all day today, a World Series no-hitter, Dan Snyder possibly selling the command. I mean, you can't ask for a stranger day in sports. What did you say to me, Dave Preston? Is it 33 degrees in Hades?
I think it's 33 and declining, so starting to see some frost maybe, but it's not frozen over yet because those the River Styx runs rather deep.
Right, it sure does. All right, so the news yesterday, people are immediately sort of jumping into he's selling the team, but this is an exploratory thing that he's doing with Bank of America Securities. What's the feeling, though? Is this really real, or is he just, let's explore some options, but I still might own this thing?
Well, I think in the over years, he said, I will never change the team name. I will never sell the team. Well, he finally changed the team name. So in the absence of him saying, I will never sell the team, this is at least, it's technically, I guess, a tie. But in a lot of the fans who have lived here and who have suffered over the last 23 years, it's a victory for them, even though this is a long way from becoming official. This is the wheels of justice may be in motion, but it takes a long time to get things going, as we've seen from other NFL team transactions. And there's even a Major League Baseball team that has been up for sale for the majority of this year, and there's no word on if the Nationals will be sold. So yes, fans I think are clutching to this like it's a life preserver, though, because it's been a rough 20 plus years. This was once one of the NFL's most successful franchises. From 1971 to 1992, they were consistently in the conference championship game, winning division titles in the NFC East when that was the best division in the league. They were consistently on at 4 o'clock with Pat Summerall and John Madden, and even the Tommy Frazier days too. So I mean, this is fans are excited about it, but I think there's also the caution that, you know what, this is a long way away from being settled.
All right, so let me ask about the overall business of the NFL. As people can figure this out, I mean, Dan Snyder's not getting fired. He owns this team. He can sell it or he cannot sell it, but there feels like over the last couple of weeks, months, that there is just a squeeze that's happening. Owners are now more vocal about this than they've ever been before. Why now? I hate to be so broad in the question, but why now?
I think they're just tired of just the weight of everything that has happened, from being called in, you know, the congressional hearings to the study on workplace, just shenanigans, to the fact that he may be skimming off the top. I mean, there are a lot of different things that are going on, and I think it's just the weight of everything, and to constantly in the news to have this be something that they mention. When it's something maybe once every 6 months, okay, you can put it off to the side, but it's every day, every week, there's something new that's developing. There's a new leak. And I think that owners are tired of it, because NFL owners, you just want to, you know, enjoy making your money and go to your suite and not have people ask questions about how you run your business. And if something is wrong in the hen house in Ashburn and Landover, maybe there's not something wrong in Houston or in Tennessee or in Kansas City. And as long as people are asking, as long as there's something wrong in Washington, there is the possibility of people asking other owners, hey, what are you doing here? What's going on with your workplace behavior? And the NFL owners who are millionaires and billionaires, they don't want to be asked about what they're doing with their money and what they're doing behind closed doors.
Right.
And so I think that is what has really caused this to come to the forefront. My theory is that somebody spoke to Dan Snyder last week at the owners' meeting about, hey, listen, we're not going to force you to sell the team, but it might be a good idea to get out of this thing. And if you make it your idea, more power to you.
because that's exactly what I was thinking. This is the one consistent thing that I've said over and over again about owning an NFL team or even an NBA team or whatnot. It is the one thing you can own that other billionaires can't get into unless they are approved. Like, billionaires can buy boats. All billionaires can buy jets. All billionaires can buy islands. All billionaires can buy mansions. But you can't just buy an NFL team. And if you're one of 31 people that own one of these things, you have something other people in the club, in the high-end Forbes club, don't have. Why in God's name would you ever give that away unless they're saying to you, we will make your life so horrific that you better get out of this thing?
Well, and extreme embarrassment,
right?
And extreme shame. And here's a guy who people have said this man has no shame. This man, but you know what? I think on some level he does, and I think on some level maybe he and his wife Tanya are just tired of this whole situation of being told that they don't belong in the league, and the franchise is valued at $5.6 billion. So he's going to leave with a healthy paycheck, and he also his family also owns 100% of the team. So he was able to buy out his minority owners in the last couple of years. So he's going to leave with even more money than he would have if he had sold a few years ago.
All right, I want to ask you about the stadium. I want to ask you about his inability to get a stadium done. It's probably more complex in an area like Washington and Virginia and whatnot than it is, let's say, Pittsburgh. But in the end, why couldn't he get this done? And people are saying he has zero influence, zero, on the not only national politicians, but local politicians that he would need on his side. Is there validity to that?
I think it's just a combination of lack of goodwill and the fact that the stadium in Landover, his practices there have been less than ideal. He was penny wise and pound foolish, meaning that, he's charging extra money for this and that and this and that, but he, over the last 23 years, he's lost a lot of goodwill. And that includes, and it's one of those things that from selling, old, expired airplane peanuts, his first run to overcharging for a poor product. Unfortunately, he did inherit a less than ideal stadium situation at FedEx Field, but it's one of those things that, for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to have the right people in place to massage the right people in the different, in Maryland, D.C., or Virginia, because you should feel you should be able to play these three, areas against one another, but he's not been able to. I mean, he was able to get the practice facility down in the training camp facility down in Richmond, which the city of Richmond really got taken to the cleaners on that. And I think that's one of the reasons why Virginia is kind of reticent to make a move on anything. We've talked over the last year or so, Tony, about different stadium sites, potentially in Virginia. And maybe there's one near the airport that might have worked, but it's tough to get something built in Virginia because the governor is term limited. He only has a 4-year term, so he can't push stuff through, and you're dealing really with the legislature on a different level than you are in other constituencies, where you've got the Maryland governor, you can serve 2 terms. You're only limited to 4 years in Virginia. In D.C., city council controls a lot of the purse strings, and they also, a lot of the neighborhoods control what goes here, what goes there. That's why Georgetown University does not have it on campus facility. Not that the school doesn't want it, but the neighborhood pretty much doesn't want a facility like that. So it's tough to get. There's a lot of different reasons why a stadium hasn't happened, and I think one of them is that one has the feeling that the owner wants to win this deal instead of getting the best deal. What do they say? Perfect is the opposite of good. He's looked for the perfect deal as opposed to what should be a really good deal. I think if you look at the map, MGM Casino, which is on the south side of the Beltway, there is some land out there, and it would be you're able to get there from various and sundry metros and highways and byways. So that might be a good spot if they move there. In my heart of hearts, I think they wind up moving to whoever the owner is. If they're not able to get to the RFK site, which they might be able to get to if they have a new owner, if Dan Snyder is still the owner of this team in 5 years, As maybe he's taken on minority partners, that might be what this whole transaction, you know, pursuit might be, to get some money from minority investors. I think they moved to the parking lot right near FedEx Field and turned FedEx Field into a parking lot.
That's what they did in Denver. That's what they did with the Mile High Stadium. They did the exact same thing. They tore down the old stadium, and you can walk on it and be like, this is where Elway made that comeback, because I'm standing right in lot 60.
I think I see Steve Watson's. I think I see Steve Watson's Achilles over here that he left.
Larger question here. I get it when a franchise, especially one that has a lot of success, and they go through a 20-year period of nothing. I get the whole sell the team. Almost that's sort of a cry all around the country.
Right.
Why though? How could he have stood on the? I did the best I could. I tried to hire the right people. I tried to hire the right coaches. I gave this to people that were smart about football, and they didn't do this. I had Bobby Bethard here, for crying out loud. I had a whole bunch of people here trying to run this in the 20 years. I brought back Joe Gibbs. I've tried my best. I took in Steve Spurrier. This is not what I do. I just own this. My expertise is in something else. So you can ask me to sell the team, but I've legitimately tried to be a winner. Could he do that or no? Did he have too much influence in the reason why 20-plus years they've stunk?
I think he could have if he had humbled himself, but you know, these billionaires, they don't become billionaires by being humble.
No, that's true.
They don't become... You know, the guys who own, like the Scrooge McDucks of the world. They don't get there by saying, I don't know. They get there by persevering. And you know what? If plan A doesn't work, I'm going to make sure that plan B does. And if plan, you know, and they will, that's how they've, with the exception of those who have inherited their millions and their teams, that's how a lot of these guys have gotten there, and women as well. And I think, he has tried multiple routes to get there. He has always wanted to be in the room. I think that's one of the reasons why when Greg Williams was up for the head coaching job after Joe Gibbs retired the second time in 07, I think you and I, maybe on another network, other station, we were talking about this, and it's like Greg Williams is the perfect guy for this job. It didn't work out because Dan Snyder wants to be in the room. Even if he has no influence, as he has right now, he has nothing to do with the day-to-day operations of the team, he still wants to be in the room. He still wants to be listed as a cast member of the team, that the group that turns this team around. It hasn't happened, and you know, so he is viewed as the common thread of what has gone wrong with every bad decision over the last 23 years. Another thing that does not help him is that a major difference between he and Ted Leonsis, who owns the Capitals, also owns the Capital City Go-Go, the Mystics, and the Washington Wizards, and his potential, they think that he might be trying to buy the Washington Nationals, as that is now for sale. Ted Leonsis makes money off of all of his properties. He is not, you know, he does not, you know, suffer, he does not run a charity, but he has always positioned himself as a steward of the Capitals and the Wizards and the other teams. Yes, he technically owns them, but he has always, from a PR standpoint, said, you know what, you fans, you're the ones who own this team. This is the city's team. Your hopes and dreams own this team. I'm just the steward, and I'm getting out of the way of my basketball and hockey people and letting them run it, and I'm just a glorified fan. Whereas Dan Snyder has always positioned himself as the owner, the guy who is not just signing the checks, but he is in the kitchen. He is adding the cinnamon to the chili, even though some say that cinnamon and chili should never be together in any way, shape, or form. He's the guy adding vanilla extract, maybe too much sometimes, but his image is someone who takes more control over his product, and it's his team, as opposed to Ted Leonsis, who has been a steward in the public image.
Dave's always good stuff. Thank you so much for coming on so quickly on this story. I know it's kind of been a busy whirlwind moment, but I appreciate it as always, my friend.
My pleasure. Sorry we did not get a chance to discuss the Syracuse Southern New Hampshire University exhibition the other night.
72-58. Orangemen.
What would Rich Levine do?
I know. Good point. Dave Preston, WTOP in Washington, on the latest on Dan Snyder on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote today. We'll continue on Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1988 is our throwback Thursday. Didn't the Washington football team win the Super Bowl January of 1988? I think they did.
I think you're right.
I think that was the year. So
against
thanks to Dave
Denver,
Preston,
right?
Against Denver, yeah, Doug Williams. Thank you to Dave Preston, WTOP. He's right about Dan Snyder. That is true. Like, if you're an owner, you're obviously, people are going to be mad at you when the team's not good.
Right.
That's just the way it is. But if you are an owner that is saying, this is mine, not yours, even if though it is, you are going to run fans the wrong way. They want you to be a fan, too. That's the whole thing. But again, some of the moves that Washington has made in the 20 years have been terrible. But some of the moves, I would have made them if I was running the team. I would have hired Steve Spurrier. He was the hottest coach in the college game at a time where you might be able to land a smart guy, innovative guy. Obviously, it didn't work, but you know what? It was like I said the thing about Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. Why not? He's a smart football guy. See if he can do it. But some of the decisions were terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. 20-plus years of that organization being no place. When they hired Mike Shanahan, I thought it was great. Shanahan needed a second chance, and he did get the team to the playoffs. But he also butchered RG3's career completely. Bad drafts, though. That's bad.